Welcome. We're glad you're here. You know what? This isn't in my plan, but I'm just going to read it to you. Paul was a guy in the first century who was adamantly opposed to Jesus Christ. Some of you would know that. There's just recently a movie about him, right? Paul the Apostle, I think, is that what it's called? Did anyone see that? Yeah. Is it good? You liked it? Okay. So Paul, if you didn't know, you've heard his name possibly. A lot of people are named after Paul the Apostle. He was a guy who absolutely hated Jesus and what he stood for. Jesus, of course, was Jewish, and Paul was a Jewish leader, and Paul thought of Jesus as a rebel against the Mosaic, the Moses kind of Judaism. He was very upset at this man who claimed to be the Messiah, the promised one, and he was doing everything he could to stop the work of that man, and all those crazy people that followed him and had those lies about him dying, and coming. They knew he died, Paul was there, saw that, but that he came back from the dead, and you know that whole story was clearly a lie, so he went around literally throwing people in prison. He had letters of authority from the ruling class because he was one of them, throwing people in prison, seeing some killed, which was good in his mind because he was standing up for what he thought was right. He came against these crazy Jesus people. And of course, one day, Jesus himself confronted Paul, having been the one that was risen from the dead, like he said. And Paul's whole life was turned upside down. If you don't know the story, Paul was on one of his trips to go to another city to find these Jesus followers and throw them in prison. And on the way, suddenly at noon, a bright light shone from heaven. And by the way, if it's noon and there's a bright light, that's a really bright light. A bright light shone from heaven. He falls to the ground. He hears a voice from heaven saying, Paul, actually Saul was his Hebrew name, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he kind of goes, oh, and I can't say this word in church. But he said, oh, and then what you would say if you heard a voice from heaven. I mean, that's what he said. I bet he did. And he said, this is not in my plan to even talk about, but I just want to tell you. I don't know if you're like, this is the sermon you recorded or not. I don't know. Anyway, he's, oh, and then, who are you, Lord? And the voice from heaven says, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. And he goes, what must I do, Lord? And he says, you just go into this city. I'm going to send someone to you. Paul became a rabid follower of Jesus after that. His life was changed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that we'll talk about today. And at one point later on, now he's no longer against Christians. He's establishing churches around the Mediterranean, and there was one in a place called Corinth. And he wrote to them a letter. And he wanted to tell them his gospel, and that's what I wanted to tell you, and that was all just the intro for who Paul is. So this is in his letter to the church at Corinth. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And this is the gospel for us, and then I'll get to what I want to talk about. Of first importance, that Christ, that Messiah, died for our sins. This is a religious leader identifying that he was a sinful man, along with all of humanity, that Christ, the Messiah, died for our sins. According to the Holy Scriptures, all of the Hebrew Scriptures, the prophets and the Mosaic Law, all that had been written, said that one would come who would carry our sins upon him. Isaiah, the prophet especially, said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. He carried the sins of us all. Those kind of scriptures. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried in a tomb, and that 3 days later he was raised from the dead on the third day. Crazy, unless it's true. According to the scriptures, and that he appeared first to Peter and then to the 12 apostles. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, by the way, as he writes this. Lots of eyewitnesses, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then last of all to the apostles, last of all to me. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you believe that, according to Paul, you will be saved. So we want to talk about that. So my topic today, I have for, well, by the way, if I'm assuming, have you all been to church before? Who's been to church service before? I see some hands not raised. So here's how Christians do it. They get together in crowds like this, and they sing songs like we just did that are songs of love and adoration because we've encountered God and we love him. And we've discovered that when we sing to him, there's a love response, and he responds back. In fact, you might have felt something while people around you were singing, kind of a presence, kind of a something good. That was probably the Holy Spirit who's with you. He's next to you, and he's wanting to get in you. And we're going to talk about that. So what we Christians do, we sing like this, and then someone like me gets up and does some kind of a teaching. Sometimes they get excited, and they raise their voice, and that's when they call it preaching, I guess. And that's what we're going to do now. And then they pray at the end, and then they go and eat donuts. That's what Christians do every Sunday, right? So now you know that's the program. So we're going to talk about the spirit of Easter. And to help me, I first grabbed a picture of, let's see if you can show it. Some of us will know this couple right here. Who can name that couple? Y'all lose. So that's Fred Astaire and Judy Garland. In the classic movie from 1948 to tell us about the spirit of Easter, Easter Parade. And from that movie comes this really insightful song, and here's the lyrics for it. In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter Parade. Who knows that song? I know, yeah, you do, okay. I'll be all in clover when they look you over. I'll be the proudest fellow at the Easter Parade. Such insight, such depth. On the Avenue, Fifth Avenue. You know, that's all right. The photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure. Who knows what a rotogravure is? You know, it's printed. It's the color printout in the newspaper. How did you know that? Okay. And now we get to the punchline. This will tell us everything we need to know about Easter. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade. Irving Berlin, he also gave us I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, which has as much to do with the birth of Christ as this has to do with the resurrection of Christ. But Hollywood is not to be stopped. So in 2012, we got this movie to help us understand the spirit of Easter a little better. This is The Rise of the Garden. Center is the Easter Bunny. And it says the Easter Bunny is more than a fable. On the left, we have Santa Claus, tattooed, naughty, or nice. On the right is the Tooth Fairy also appearing. I think are the Sandman. And Jack Frost is a key player. And they are in, have you seen the movie? Yeah, they're in battle against Pitch, who's trying to make every child that's dreamed afraid. And they're going to come, especially the Easter Bunny, and give them a sense of wonder. And here's the theme. The message is that we should never stop believing in good, no matter what the odds. Not very close to the spirit of Easter, but nice try. Better than Easter bonnets, I think. So what is the spirit of Easter? Well, here's the Easter story told. Easter, of course, is the celebration of Jesus rising from the dead that I just read about. Luke 24. You know, I like to pray a lot because I believe that God hears our prayers and it sometimes tunes us. So I'm going to pray a prayer as we open the Word of God. Now, Father, we want to be instructed by you. We want to be changed by you. And right now I'm asking for your presence upon me to help me to speak what's in your heart. And I'm praying for all of us, for your presence to be on us, that our ears and our heart would be opened to learn from you. Holy Spirit, come. Let the rule and reign of God be upon us now. Amen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women, this is the women that are followers of Jesus, this is Sunday morning, the day we're celebrating, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. By the way, I did a little bit of research trying to figure out what did that stone weigh. You know, they sealed the tomb with a stone so that no one could come and steal the body and say that he was raised from the dead. I don't know if you knew that, but that's one of the pieces of evidence that people that care about evidence for how we know that Jesus rose from the dead, which, by the way, for hundreds of years, the brightest minds, scientists, forensic analysts, lawyers, if they know anything, smart people, doctors, lots of people have analyzed, have researched, have tried to come up with an explanation for the historical record that shows a man dead, buried, put in a tomb, raised from the dead 3 days later, alive and functioning fully, preaching to masses, seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of eyewitnesses. And it always comes up, this man rose from the dead, like he said. Therefore, people like I am stuck, people like me am stuck with a decision. Do I believe it or not? The evidence for me is that Jesus is the one he said he was, and that's why I follow him. But anyway, there was a stone put in front of the tomb, and the best I can tell from research was that it weighed 1 to 2 tons. So they got there. You know, it might not have been that kind of disc thing you see that they could roll, kind of a slotted, like, you know, your closet door that slides in the pocket door. But, you know, that's the picture, and they actually used those for some tombs. And you could roll that stone in front. And it might have been like that. More likely, it was more shaped kind of like a cork. And it took several men to get it in place, right? So they got there, and the stone was rolled away from the tomb. The stone was missing. And when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. You get the picture, right? These are women who are in their tradition going to take spices and make a mummy. They're going to wrap his body, which is how they took care of the dead bodies. So they're going to do that. They couldn't do it on the night he died. It was a Jewish Passover, a high Sabbath, a high holiday. So they had to go and not be involved in anything with a dead body. So they took that body, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph was one of the council who was secretly a follower of Jesus, and Nicodemus and some others took the body, got permission from Pilate, the governor, put it in the tomb. Pilate's the Jewish leader said, would you cover it with that stone so no one can say they stole it, right? So they're going in the morning, Sunday morning, 3 days later, to deal with the spices and, you know, the mummification process. They get there, there's no body. And while they were like, the stone's gone. There's no body. What the heck's going on? Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them in their fright, and you'd be frightened too. Suddenly, there's two men out of nowhere, that, and they're like glowing. Seriously, like lightning. Have you ever seen lightning? It's bright. In their fright, the woman just bowed down with their faces to the ground. They're like this, you know. And the men said to them, I love these understatements. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen just like he said. Now, yeah, it's okay to applaud that. That's good every time you hear it. It's good news. So, who has the power, the strength to move that stone? Who has the power to raise a person who's been dead 3 days from the dead fully into life after they've been brutally crucified? The person who can do that is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Easter. And I want to introduce him to us more fully today. Paul, that guy I talked about earlier, knew a lot about the Holy Spirit, having encountered him, having studied, having written, having researched his own Hebrew scriptures. He wrote in one of his letters to one of his churches this: if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your bodies if his Spirit lives in you. That's a mouthful, and we're going to take some time in the next minutes to grab an understanding of why this is important. Why would you even care? And why it's true. But get this, there is somebody called the Holy Spirit who moved the stone and raised the body, who has been with you, and you felt him earlier today probably, and he can be in you. And that is an amazing proposition. That is phenomenal, that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can live in me. But that's what I just read in the Bible. I'm one of those people that could easily say, the Bible says, and be very content with the next sentence, because the Bible for me is the truth of God written down for the ages. And it might be for you one of these days if it's not yet. The Spirit who lives in you. Now, you did, Shannon mentioned a little booklet that's in your handout. Let me just mention that now. So you see this booklet, it's actually 20 pages or so. This is my gift to you. I printed it last night. I got it from the Vineyard, and they put together this booklet for me to give to you. I just downloaded it and printed it. It will be useful because it has some of the thoughts that I'm saying today and a lot more. Some people like to go home and read and study and learn and spend time with the Lord. You could use this as a devotional over the next couple of weeks even. We're launching today in this talk on the Spirit of Easter a series called The Holy Spirit, The Road to Pentecost. And many of you would know Pentecost is the name of the Jewish holiday that comes 50 days after the Jewish holiday Passover. And Passover is a prophetic holiday in that it looks toward a Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world, Jesus. And Pentecost is also prophetic as it speaks of the time when the harvest of souls onto Jesus Christ would begin and there'd be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit available to the whole world. We'll talk about that in the next weeks. But anyway, use that back to our notes. Oh, I didn't mention this, by the way. When I talk, I make a printout of some of the stuff I'm going to say. That's what this sheet is. And some people like that. You could use that for notes. If you go, oh, that was smart, I'll write that. Or you're bored, so you doodle on it. Whichever way you want, use that as you will. Okay. Back to the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. How are you guys doing? You're all awake. Okay, good. Teacher likes to know how the class is doing. Another statement, Paul referring to this Spirit. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, and I'm compressing some of this, the words here, it's a long sentence, the Spirit's incomparably great power for us who are believers. Could you just pause a moment and listen to this? Both if you are an old-time follower of Jesus or someone who is here because someone drug you and you don't believe in Jesus at all, or someone who's here who's kind of interested in Jesus, you don't know, you're here to ask questions, you want to learn. All those are good. This applies to all of you. I am talking about an amazing power that Easter weekend makes available to you and me. An amazing power that some of us aren't walking in, even though it's already at hand, because we're already believers of Jesus. The Spirit of God is already in us. Sometimes we live as though that's not even true. The Bible calls that living in the flesh, by the way. And we can live in the Spirit. So listen now to these words. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name of authority that can be named or invoked, not only in this age, but in the age to come. That power is available for those who will put their faith in Jesus Christ, his cross, his death, and his resurrection. And that is an astounding proposition. That is astounding that somehow that power can be resident in me. Amazing. The Spirit of Easter is who I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit. Now, we're introducing, as I said, some teaching, some learning about him. You might not realize how the Holy Spirit, the part of God that gets things done, the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how much he's been in action all of history. I listed just a few of the places about how he gets things done. In the creation story, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't know if you knew that the Holy Spirit's going to show up in the second sentence of this. Now the earth was formless and void, darkness was over the spirit and the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was present in his power, creating the ground that you're standing on today. Remember when the children of Israel had been enslaved for 400 years, they were brought out of slavery into a promised land through the wilderness. Did you know that was the work of the Holy Spirit that was present? Nehemiah references that, and some of the Psalms do as well, excuse me. Because of your great compassion, Nehemiah says, as he's praying to God many hundreds of years after the Exodus, you did not abandon them in the desert. By the day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. What was going on? You gave your good Spirit to lead them, to guide them, instruct them. That was the Holy Spirit at work, the one we're talking about who can live in you today. Who do you think parted the Red Sea so that an entire nation walked through on dry land with walls of water? That was the Holy Spirit, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, the one who moved the stone away. When they went to make the temple, the tabernacle, and I can't get into the whole story, but you know, they created a place to worship that was called a tabernacle. The Holy Spirit was involved in the craftsmen. The Bible says this: I have chosen a guy with a cool name, Bezalel, son of Uri. The son of her sounds like someone should be in Star Wars. Of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and ability and knowledge and all kinds of crafts. He was the one who did all that intricate artwork with the gold. That was the work not of just natural talent, that was the work of the Holy Spirit. When the nation needed to be governed, God, the Holy Spirit, was involved. This is Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people, which you'd think would be good, but not good enough for God. Have them come to the tent of the meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down, I will speak with you, and I will take of the Holy Spirit that's on you and put that Spirit on them, and then they will help carry the burden of the people. Their government was literally led by people filled or empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been active from all of creation. All the stories you've read in the Bible, if you look just a little bit deeper, you're going to find the Spirit involved. The great deliverers, you know, Samson, he was not strong because he had long hair. Many people seem to think, well, it's his hair. No. His hair was an outward symbol of a covenant he had made with God, a vow to say, you know, I'm going to be dedicated to you. A razor won't even touch my hair. I'll never drink strong drink. I will not be immoral with women. I'm dedicating my life to you. And what happened is God made him a deliverer against the enemies. One time the enemies bound him with two new ropes, led him up from a rock. As he approached this place called Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting, and what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. This is the Spirit of Easter. This is the same guy. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, and the ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men, not because he had dreads. He probably did, and they probably looked cool. But that didn't give him strength. It was the Holy Spirit. Paul said, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also make your mortal body alive. That's the Spirit we're talking about. Am I too intense? Should I? I really like the Holy Spirit. He's my friend. I wake up sometimes and I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. So glad you're in me. What do you want to do today? I look at you today and go, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to these precious people? Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, come. You know, all the prophets in the Old Testament, their prophecy, well, listen to this. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but the men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Everything you read in the Old Testament is by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. This is the Spirit of Easter that you and I can know. And it's very significant today, very important. I didn't put in the outline here. What I should have when Jesus was born. You remember how that went down? The angel comes to Mary and goes, you're going to have a baby. And she goes, how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. I'm only like a teenager and I've never been with a man. And he goes, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one born to you will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Here's a quote from that booklet I gave you. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is a person, the spirit of creation itself. And that person we see again and again, as I've just shown you, creating, recreating, and renewing God's world. If you didn't know this, God created a beautiful world. People like you and me heard a lie from an enemy of God, who couldn't reach him but could reach us. The first couple in a garden were told a lie. You know, there's some fruit here that God said you shouldn't eat, but if you eat it, you'll become wise and you become like God. Why don't you eat it? And just like you and me, always having a liar come, saying, why don't you come and do this thing? And you go, I'm not supposed to do that. As a child especially, you knew, I'm not supposed to do that. And he said, no, you'll like it if you do it. And you listened to the liar like our forefathers did, and you took the fruit. In your case, it might have been a chocolate chip cookie that mom said not to take, and thus began your life of crime. Actually, seriously, that's how it starts. I know some of you all been some time behind some bars, and I think it started with a cookie. God created a perfect world, and people like you and me listened to the liar and brought destruction to this planet, to where in this day, in this hour, some of us will take weapons and go into schools where there are children and indiscriminately kill as many as they can because of sin, because a tempter lied and someone believed it, and as they followed that tempter, they became under his control. And Paul, I read earlier, who identified as a sinner, was able to say, don't you know, all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. All of us were under the rule of that evil one. All of us were without hope, but God, who is full of love and rich in mercy, sent his son to die on a cross. Didn't have flowers on it like that. To die on a cross and take our sins upon us, to be buried and rise again in victory over death and hell and the grave and sin, so that we could come into restoration and relationship with him, ultimately so he could restore this planet to its original intent. That's what I was reading when I stepped off there. Creating and renewing God's world and God's people at the good pleasure of the Father. You with me back in that quote? The Spirit is God's active presence among us. And the Spirit, seen dancing at the very beginning of time itself, is about the business of bringing lifeless things to life. This is the Spirit of Easter, people. And you can know him intimately. One of the things that you love about Jesus when you read the stories that's so compelling is that he's always in this intimate relationship with the Father and the Spirit. And amazingly, he's invited his followers to join him in that intimate relationship. So for me, thinking about some of you that might be here who have heard this story, you've heard about Jesus dying and rising from the dead. You might even think it's true, and you believe it's true, but it's out here, it's not in here. Why? Another Easter rolls around, another year, you go to church, your friends bring you, and you say, that's a good story. In fact, you've been to some churches where the guy told the story so well that you wept and thought, oh, it's moving, it's sentimental. But it didn't change your life. Why is what I'm talking about worth listening to, worth responding to? Because according to what I just said, if it's true, Paul, that I was referring to, said that we're all dead. in our sins. And you've all, and I'm with you, you've all sinned. Oh, don't say that, Ron, the sin word. You don't even, tell me, you don't even do the things that you think you should do. And you don't even not do the things that you think you should not do. You and I can't even conform to our own list. How much more do we fall short of God's list? And you know that's true. You know that we're stuck. And if you're old like me, you may have tried for years to get better and improve. And you do improve a little, but it's like if I wanted to jump from here to that platform back there, I could train all my life, but I'm never going to make that jump. Maybe I get to the third row. Am I going to make it, Samuel? You know, maybe if I had like a bungee cord thing and I strap it, I'd just smack down in the middle. I'm not going to make it. That's the state of us in our death. And on Easter, Jesus, the Son of God, makes it available to us that we can come to life. He calls it being born of the Spirit. Receiving the Spirit that raised him from the dead into our lives. The reason this is important, the why you should listen and care, is that if you would believe and follow into what I'm saying, you will find that you enter into life that is real, that it has value, that has potential, that has purpose, that's permeated with this presence of the Spirit, the one we've been talking about inside of us. There's nothing like it. This is why it's important. Don't let Easter go by without receiving the life that's available to you. What Jesus did on Easter weekend, his death on the cross, his resurrection on Sunday, and how you and I respond is the only way we could enter into life. So here's some thoughts about that. How are we doing on time? We're good. You guys all seem awake too, so we're having fun. The coffee was what did it, right? We're going to have a baptism next week. And there's some sheets signed up going around. Listen, if you would like to be baptized and you didn't get that sheet and you can't find it and you can't find me and you can't find that guy over there, Samuel, you have a program that has an office phone number in it. Turns out that office phone number now can take texts. So just text us and say, I want to get baptized to that number. We'll find you and we'll set it up. Because listen to what baptism does. We must die to our own old life to receive the life that Jesus offers. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There's lots of people with stories here. I'm going to come down here. A friend of mine named Zach was just sharing some of his story, and he said, could I share it? He was going to share it Friday night. It didn't work out, and I said, oh, that'd be great. So Zach, why don't you come up here? Zach's got a cool, this is Zach. Have you ever talked in front of a crowd of people? It's kind of scary. So, are you scared?
I'm a little nervous.
Okay, here.
I'll be all right.
Now, if you could stick this right up here. Yeah, and I'll hold it if you want. Do you rap, see?
My name's Zach, and I've actually known Ron since I was like 10 years old. My uncle is Harvey Schwartz. He's the one that opened this church. You know, In my time that I grew up since I started coming to this church, I had a little bumpy road. You know, my dad died of cancer in 2004, and I got addicted to meth and had a long prison career. Got about 10 years in the prison system, and through that time in between, I was running the streets out here just doing crime and getting in a lot of trouble. running around with all the wrong people. I had friends that were like skinheads and things like that, you know. And anyways, I just did a 5-year term and just got out like a month ago. While I was in there, my first 2 years, I was just acting up. Just my hand was raised for anything that needed to be done in there, and it was all bad. 2 years later, I just came to me like I need something different in my life, and I ended up getting baptized in there. I had some ins and outs while I was in there. You know, I relapsed on drugs a few times. Came back, you know, and I realized one thing that I realized is I would read the Bible, I would pray, and I would exercise. And those were three things that helped me to stay clean. And I don't like to read. So whenever I put the Bible away and I would continue to pray, I would eventually stop praying. I would eventually stop exercising, and I had a needle in my arm again. And I realized the cycle. And today I have a year clean.
All right.
I'm in Amity Ranch. It's a transitional rehab home, and I've been there for ever since I got out. And I'm thankful to be back here. You know, I wrote some programs and trying to come to one when I got out. And I didn't write Amity. I was trying to get out of this area. I was trying to leave this behind me. And I prayed about it, though. I was like, you know, I wanted God to send me where he wanted me to be. And he sent me to Amity, and we ended up coming to this church, and I'm back here.
Amazing. You know what? Let's pray for our brother. Father, thank you for your sovereign work in Zach's life. For by your amazing, interesting, fascinating design, you brought him right back to the building where he first encountered you. We see your hand in this, and we receive him as brother, and we stand side by side to hold him up, to love him, to live with him, to walk out this journey together. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon him in power. The Spirit we've been talking about would come upon him in power and fill him again and again and again, that he will walk out the destiny that you have written for him, not the one that Satan wrote, but the one that you have written, and nothing will hinder his further growth and victory in Jesus Christ. Bless him. Amen. Amen. Cool, huh? Thanks, Zach. So, gotta die so you can be raised to life. What was the next thought? Must be born of the Spirit. Jesus, in that famous talk that shows up as John 3:16 written across football players' eyelids. Some of you know what I'm talking about. He said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God. In other words, the place, the realm in which God is ruling, where God's in charge. No one can see that unless he's born a second time. Tell you the truth, no one can enter that realm unless he's born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh, this stuff, gives birth to flesh. The Holy Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And the man he was talking with, Nicodemus, said, how can this be? And Jesus answered, here's how. The Son of Man, me, Jesus, must be lifted up on a cross, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but we'll have eternal life. We'll have the life of the ages. We'll have the life of the Spirit. We'll live this life we've been talking about, the resurrection life. The incredible Spirit of God will live within us. Now, I was going to read to you from John chapter 14, where Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, when he was arrested, had that Last Supper with the disciples. You've seen the picture where they're all sitting on one side of the table. That's just the painting. It's not quite like that. So they're in a room. They're eating dinner, and he washes their feet, and he says, "This cup is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, the new covenant." He takes the bread before that, breaks it. "This bread is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's where we get communion or the Eucharist from. Such an amazing passage. I downloaded that portion of the movie, The Gospel of John, where they just take the text of the Bible but act it out. This will take 3 minutes. You with me? So can you show, we'll listen to Jesus say it. He's kind of whispering, so turn your ears up. Go ahead.
"I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him."
"Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need."
"For a long time I have been with you all, yet you do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work.
Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not, believe because of the things I do. I am telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things. Yeah. Because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it.
If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him, because it cannot see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left all alone. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more. But you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in my Father and that you are in me, just as I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. My Father will love those who love me. I too will love them and reveal myself to them."
Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said,
"Lord, how can it be that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?"
"Those who love me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and my Father and I will come to them and live with them. Those who do not love me do not obey my teaching. And the teaching you have heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace is what I leave with you."
Like, oh, he's cut it off. I wanted to watch more. That, by the way, that's just on YouTube. The whole Gospel of John. If you don't like to read, you can let them read it to you. Here's what he said. This intimate relationship I have with the Father and with the Spirit, I'm going to make available to you. I'm going to go to a cross. And then I'm going to rise from the dead. And if I do that, I will return to the Father. Then I will send my Spirit. That's what he said. You know him because he's with you. And you know him because he's with you. I'm telling you, most of you have experienced the presence of the Spirit of God. But when you really meet him and he comes in you, then you go, oh, that's who that was. Have you any of you had that experience? Like, oh, I recognize you. I didn't know your name was the Spirit of Jesus. Oh, now he's in you. I will come to you, Jesus said. My Father and his Spirit will live in you. You only enter into life when you receive him. So just, you know, the bottom line here is Jesus went to the cross. What happened on Easter was so that you and I could experience what Jesus described in that video segment, which was just the text of the Bible to the people of God, to the people who would follow him. So what I'm going to do right now is invite you to follow him. He often saw people and said, come, follow me. Some did, some didn't. Don't be a didn't, be a did. It'll go better for you now and especially down the road. That's another story for next time. He said, come, follow me. Secondly, for those of us that have followed him, but we don't really follow him and we don't really live like his Spirit's in us. I mentioned it earlier. The Bible teaches that we can, even though we have the Spirit of Christ in us, live like we don't, living according to the flesh, it's called. It's like the old way, the way you were before you gave your life to Jesus. If you live that way, you'll have really terrible experiences. But he says, don't live that way. Live, walk according to the Spirit. He wrote it to the church at Galatia. The fifth chapter, you can read about it. The Bible says, listen, you are alive by the Spirit. Why don't you walk by the Spirit now? Walk out this life. You and I who have already come to Christ, by faith, look to the Holy Spirit to fill you again and again. Look to the Spirit to guide you. Look to the Spirit to give you his fruit in his life, in your life. Ask him for help. Seek him, and he will fill you, and you'll walk by his power. Don't walk according to the flesh. Walk according to the Spirit. Why don't we just change our posture and stand up? And I'm going to have us also sing a song of invitation. And so, Amy and you know the worship band, you could come up too. So listen, why don't you close your eyes just to remove distraction. If you are ready to follow Jesus today, to receive this life of the Spirit of Easter that I've been proclaiming to you, I want to invite you to put your hand up in the air saying, like, God, choose me. Put your hand up in the air like that. There's some hands going up around the room. Just put your hand. Your hand is not the issue, but it is a physical presentation of what's happening inside. And say this. Jesus, I believe you are who you said you are. And today I receive you into my life. I'm asking you to wash away my sins. I'm asking you to cleanse me from the stain of my sins. I'm asking you to give me a clean start today. I'm looking to you like you said. Now make me to be born again. Make me to be born of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus said would come into me, I welcome you. Come fill me now. Across the room, let's pray that. Come fill me now. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me now. That if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, he will also make us alive, that we can live a new life, like a resurrected life.